Let me remind you of the main lesson we're carrying with us through these verses. We can confidently pray because God is providentially
working every day, accomplishing His sovereign will through the prayers of the saints. Amen and amen. Just in case you don't remember, let me remind you of the two things we've learned about prayer and the providence of God so far. Last week, we started looking at these things, and so this is what we've learned so far in this series. We've learned the strategic positioning for prayer. We remember last week, the strategic positioning of prayer is that place where we go when we have nowhere else to go. And oftentimes, that's after we do as much as we can do. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. We always need to do our part, but there comes a time in our lives where God puts us on our knees, and that is the strategic positioning of prayer, where we find out, we just come to the point of surrendering to the Lord. Lord, without you, this can't be done. So that's the strategic positioning of prayer, and we also learn about the specific proposition of prayer, and that just means pray specifically. Be in prayer and ask God for specific guidance, just as this, my headphones on now, sorry about that, just as this nameless servant of Abraham did as well. He made specific requests of God. That's all that means, specific requests of God. So the surrender is that strategic positioning for prayer. And when we get to that position, we're ready to make those specific propositions or requests in prayer. E. Stanley Jones writes this: prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. If I throw out a boat hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me, or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. Okay? That's what prayer is all about. And as I said last week, if you pray the will of God, your answers will always be yes. And that's the thing, praying the will of God. In the prayer of the nameless servant of Abraham, we hear him surrendering to the will of God. We hear him praying, and I'm just paraphrasing what he prayed. God, whoever the girl is that waters my camels and speak these words, let that be the girl you've sent to answer my prayer. Then I will know you've given me success. So he's surrendering to the will of God. He's throwing that out, that prayer out, and he's pulling himself towards the will of God. Lord, without you, I will not know who this woman will be. The servant was praying a prayer that would align himself with the will of God. And by God's providence, God gives him the answer to his prayer. Now, I want to give you two New Testament verses about prayer that are so critically important it reminds us that prayer and the providence of God goes hand in hand. First of all, it's James chapter 4, verse 2 and following. James chapter 4, verse 2 and following. You know this Bible verse, don't you? You know this verse. You do not have because you do not ask. One of the simplest and most clear things that we are given in Scripture when it comes to prayer. You simply don't have because you don't ask. But, of course, that's just not an open-ended statement. Listen to the rest of the statement now. You ask and do not receive because you asked wrongly to spend it on your passions. So when we ask for things in prayer and we don't get it, it's because we are going to the Lord with the wrong motives. Now, the other verse, James chapter 5, verse 16 and following, the Bible says this: the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Why does the prayer of a righteous person have great power as it is working? Well, because if you ask, you get. That is powerful. That is, if you ask with the right motives. And what we see is a fulfillment of these two verses in the life of Abraham's servant. He asked with the right motives. He asked for the will of God to be done. And God did exactly what he asked him to do. R.C. Sproul puts it this way: God works mightily in response to our prayers. He has revealed that He will use prayer to change not Himself, but to change things in fulfillment of His sovereign will. Prayer does affect the course of our lives and the lives of others. Church family, pray, pray, pray. Pray knowing that God works through your prayers to accomplish His will. The providence of God and prayer of the saints work like a hand in a glove. The glove of God's sovereign providence encapsulates the hands of saints folded in prayer. Hear me out, church. We are living in a day and time that I've never lived in my life. And if there is a nation of all nations that needs its saints to be in prayer, it is none other than the United States of America. We are going down a dangerous path and have been for a while. And we need you to be in that strategic position of prayer, giving those specific propositions in prayer, knowing that the sovereign's providence is working in your prayer. Which brings us to the third point. The third point is this: the sovereign's providence in prayer. Let me remind you of these verses. I've read through them already before, but let me remind you of these verses once again. Take your Bibles, look there, page 17 in the Pew Bible. In verse 17, it begins, "Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with a water jar on her shoulder. The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden who no man had known." Now let me just stop right there for just a second. All that is purely to give you the context here. And really what it is saying, know that the nameless servant didn't know any of this. This is written to the reader of the text. All right? He had no idea who this girl was, who her family lineage was. He had no idea anything about her. But the Bible is telling us about her because it's just whetting our appetites to see how God's going to answer this prayer in a powerful way. This girl is everything to a T that Abraham could ever want for his son Isaac. God is showing us that in His providence, He's already got it worked out better than we could ever ask or hope for. Now let me ask you a question. Why don't you pray? Why don't you pray as if your life depends on it? Why don't we pray as if our children's lives depend upon it? Why don't we pray as if the nation that we live in doesn't depend upon the prayers and the providence of God? Our founding fathers recognized the providence of God in this founding of this great nation. And church family, we need to get back to that. Let me keep reading. I'm sorry, that's a sermon for another time. "She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up," verse 17. "Then the servant ran to meet her and said, 'Please give me a little water to drink from your jar.' She said, 'Drink, my lord.' And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, 'I will draw water for your camels also.'" How many camels? 10. "Until they have finished drinking." I'm going to come back to that. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water, and she drew for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are like this servant, thirsty, and we need a drink from the deep well of your word and your wisdom. So, Father, help us to not walk away from the well until our thirst is quenched. Lord God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a taste for the treasure of your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Sorry, I'm not a dried up preacher. I'm just sort of dried out. That was good. Anybody want some? I don't have the COVID. Sorry. Pastor's in rare form today, isn't he? Well, here we are. In these verses is what I call one of the most amazing parts of Scripture, and that is when God amazingly and immediately answers the prayers of the saints. Don't you just love when God does that? I love when God does that. God always answers our prayers, but they're not always immediate answers to our prayers. Bill Hybels writes about how God will answer prayers, and you've heard something like this before, but let me read how he puts it. He says, if the request is wrong, God says, no. If the timing is wrong, God says, slow. If you are wrong, God says, grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says, go. God always answers prayer. Think about the timing of God answering this prayer, because timing is everything in God's providence. God always gets the timing right. Do we understand that, church family? If you walk away from here today, I want you to realize that God is always right in His providential timing of the things that goes on in our lives. He's always right on time. And I know you've heard that before. Rebecca, get this, had already left home, heading to the well to get the water at that specific time of day in the ancient Near Eastern culture when all the girls go out to get water for the family and for the animals. She had already left her home that day. Now, here's the thing. I mentioned this last week, but let me mention it again. This was her everyday routine. And I say that because I want you to understand, God works His providence in the everyday routine of our lives. And in that way, every day is not routine. Are you with me, church? Are you with me? In the routine of her life, she had no idea God was about to open a door that had yet to be opened in her life. And at the right time and at the right place, God was going to connect her with the right person to get her to her husband. And that all came about through what? Prayer and the providence of God. Prayer and the providence of God. The sovereign's providence in our praying. God was already at work in the prayers of this nameless man before Rebecca ever left home to make her journey to the well, what she would routinely do at the same time every day. God was already at work. You know, you just don't know how people are praying for you, do you? You just don't know how God is working in that prayer when you think maybe He's not with you or He's not working in your life at all. But you just never know who is in your life who is praying for you. Maybe it's a mom. Maybe it's a dad. Maybe it's a wife. Maybe it's a personal friend. Maybe it's your pastor in his office. He's lifting you up to the Lord. And you have no idea in God's timing and providence how God is working in your life through the prayers of the saints. Now, I hope that puts a little extra step and you get along. Pastor Hughes puts it this way. As the servant humbly prayed, God directed him to ask for specific providences. The prayer he prayed was done through the providence of God, that God was at the same time orchestrating as Rebecca arrived at the well amidst his prayers. The text clearly confronts us here with God's providence and our prayers. The Bible says, before he had finished speaking, that is praying, Rebecca came out with her water jar on her shoulder. Now, here's the thing I wanted to refer back to when it came to these 10 camels. In the ancient Near East, the wells You didn't bring the water up to you with a bucket, so to say, or a pump. The wells were down in the ground, so typically the person who needed to get to the water had to walk down steps to get to the level of the water. Right, that's the first thing I want to tell you. So if that is correct and that is true, then this young lady had to walk down to the water, fill her jar up, and walk back up to unfill her jar. Now, we do know that the jars, the watering pots, the watering jars made of clay, typically carried about 3 gallons of water. Now, I looked this up this week. At room temperature, a gallon of water weighs about 8.33 pounds. You do the math. Nearly 25 pounds of water she had to carry up from the bottom of the well all the way up to the troughs to water the camels. Now, camels, when they're fully dehydrated, can drink up to, you guess, 25 gallons of water. You multiply 25 gallons of water times 10 camels, and then you put how many, you divide that by the gallon she could put in a watering jar, and that's how many trips she had to make up and down those steps to water 10 camels fully. And if you remember, verse 21 says, the man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. Why did he just gaze at her? Because she had to water all of the camels until they were all the way satisfied before he would understand that God had moved providentially in his life to answer this prayer. Let me tell you this, Rebecca was a stout young lady. She did not quit until the job was done and she volunteered to do it. You can't tell me God wasn't in that. I would have probably quit after the first couple of jars because I'm just a fat preacher that likes seafood. God was in that. God was in that. And you know the amazing thing about it is this was the only girl he talked to. This was the first girl, as far as we know, that came to the well that day at that time to water camels. And it was the first girl he talked to, and it was the only girl he needed to talk to. Why? Because God was in it. God was working providentially, not only in the life of Isaac, but in the life of Rebecca, in the life of this nameless servant, all the way back then to this day today. God was providentially at work in the lives of people that they had no idea who they would be. Do you understand that if she failed to water those camels all the way, you and I may just not be here today? God was working providentially. That is a powerful, powerful thing to know in your arsenal. And is it any wonder he just sat there and gazed at her in silence, right? The very first girl, she dotted every I, she crossed every T, even T's and I's he didn't know about. Rebecca was the answer to prayer. God had providentially arranged all of these events to take place at the right time, at the right place, with the right people. Now, you may think, and you may wonder, if God had already arranged all of this, why did the servant need to pray to begin with? And that's a great question, is it not? And let me give you the biblical answer. Write this down. You should have already written it down, but James chapter 5, verse 16, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. That's the answer. That's the answer. James chapter 4, you do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive because you asked wrongly. That is, with the wrong motives. God chooses to work out His providential will, His sovereign will, through the prayers of the saints. Now, some people may think, well, this is a name it, claim it kind of praying, and it's not. It's not a name it, claim it kind of praying because the name it, claim it gospel and praying is purely focused on the sinful desires of the individual, not on the glory of God. And so it is a matter of motive when we go to the Lord in prayer and ask. Because the Bible clearly says, now, if this is not true, if James chapter 4, verse 2, and James chapter 5, verse 16 is not true, then this is some of the cruelest things that I've ever heard in my life. And I take it that it is absolutely, unequivocally true by faith. This is the promise of God to God's people. And He wants His people to be a part of His sovereign will through their prayers and them aligning themselves with His will when they pray. Now, that being said, God doesn't need our help. God does not need our prayers to accomplish what He wants. The Bible says God is not served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. God could have chosen to bring to pass all that happened on that day at that moment without the intercession of the saint. But that's not the way He chose to work. He chose to work through the intercessory prayer of this nameless servant. Now, you put your name right where His is, and that's what God wants you to do too. God wants to affect your lives and the lives of other people, the lives of this very that make up this very nation, by you praying and asking Him with the right motives in prayer. So, now, let me give you three reasons why we must pray. The first is this. I'm just going to give them to you. We pray because God has promised to work mightily in response to our prayers. James 5. Okay? That's why we pray. Because God has promised to work mightily through the prayers of the righteous. Secondly, we pray because He uses our prayers not to change Himself, but to change things in fulfillment of His sovereign will. All right. Number three. We pray because the Lord works through our prayers to accomplish His purposes. What a great reason to pray. Dr. Helen Roosevelt, now listen to this story. This is a wonderful story, and it's true. She was a missionary to Zaire, and she told this story. There was a mother at their mission station who died after giving birth to a premature baby. This missionary tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive with a hot water bottle, but that hot water bottle was beyond repair. So she gets in the strategic position of prayer after she's done everything she could. She asks the children to pray. And this is what one of the little girls prayed. Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for the sister so she won't feel so lonely. Amen. That afternoon, a large package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as this missionary opened the box, and to their surprise, under some clothing was, you know what? A hot water bottle. The little girl who prayed the prayer knew that there just had to be a baby doll in there. So she jumped in that box and started unloading it. And there, lo and behold, was a little baby doll. Now, when was that prayed for? 5 weeks before, in a women's Bible study, those women prayed about what to send to this mission 5 weeks before. And that's what the Lord led them to send. Prayer and the providence of God. You have no idea how God is working in your prayers today that will affect someone's future. In His time and by His power and His providence, God will use the mighty powers, the mighty prayers of the righteous. Church family, pray, pray, pray. Now, what should we do in response to answered prayer? And this is the fourth and final point. The fourth thing we see here is the sweet proclamation to prayer. Look at verse 22 with me. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels. That, in case you're wondering, that's a lot, okay? All right, those are some of the best gifts. Verse 23, please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. She added, we have plenty of both straw and fodder and room to spend the night. Now, this is the sweet proclamation to prayer that this nameless servant gives to the Lord, beginning in verse 26. Look what he does. The man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praising the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love. You remember that's that covenant term for covenant loyalty of God to those he makes his covenant with. So he reminded God of this covenant when he began to pray. And now he's thanking God for keeping his covenant. So this is thanksgiving. This is thanksgiving. Steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsmen. Then the young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things. When God answers prayer, what is your reaction? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And it should be. You see, our reaction to answered prayer is really a proclamation of sorts. And a proclamation is an announcement for all to hear. In response to answered prayer, the servant made four proclamations. I'm just going to go through these really quick. Four proclamations. First, there was the proclamation of worship. Notice he bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. Now, worship is the Old Testament word for worship means to prostrate oneself before the Lord. So this guy is on the ground, face down before the Lord, in front of this girl and all who's there, and he is proclaiming his thanksgiving to the Lord. He is worshiping the Lord. Have you ever been driven to your knees and to your face in thanksgiving? It should be a common practice in light of God answering prayer. That's the first thing we see. Number two is this, the proclamation of praise, and he blessed the Lord. He just blessed the Lord. Lord, I praise you for working as you have worked. Praise you for my answered prayer. We can never praise the Lord enough in answer to prayer. You know, prayers that I had answered 2 years ago, maybe they come across your heart and your mind. What should you do? Fall on your face and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God likes to be praised. Number three, the third proclamation is the proclamation of covenant loyalty. God has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. So what he is saying is, Lord, I praise you for who you are and who you've promised to be. I praise you for fulfilling your promise through this prayer and through your providence. I thank you, Lord, for being the God who you are. And then the fourth proclamation is this, the proclamation of presence. Did you notice that in verse 27? The third part of verse 27 reads, as for me, the Lord has led me in the way. Has led me is from a single Hebrew word, which means that God leads through difficult times. If you didn't know the heart of this nameless servant, you know it now. What did he think about this task that Abraham sent him on? It was probably one of the hardest things that he ever had to do in his life. And he says, God, you were with me all the way. God, you were with me all the way. How many times does it come up in our hearts and minds in the midst of difficult things that we wonder where God is instead of praying and asking for his help? Church, God's with you. The Lord is with you. And that was a proclamation He thanked God for his presence in the difficult times. He proclaimed the goodness of God in his answer to prayer. This is the way, this is what we do when God answers prayer. Listen to this little story. Among those in the court of Alexander the Great was a philosopher of outstanding ability but little money. He asked Alexander for financial help and was told to draw whatever he needed from the imperial treasure. But when the man requested an amount equal to $50,000, he was refused. The treasurer needed to verify that such a large sum was authorized. And when he asked Alexander about this, Alexander said this, "Pay the man at once. The philosopher has done me a singular honor. By the largeness of his request, he shows that he has understood both my wealth and my generosity." Now listen, there is one greater than Alexander. There's not a request that we can make of God that's too great. For there is no bottom to the treasury of his love and his power and his resources. And when he answers and opens the treasury door and showers us with the answer to our prayer, let's make sure there is no lack in our response in worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Amen? Four things we've learned about prayer in the providence of God: the strategic positioning for prayer, the specific proposition of prayer, the sovereign's providence in prayer, and the sweet proclamation to prayer. Remember, church family, we can confidently pray because God is providentially working every day, accomplishing his sovereign will through the prayers of the saints. 18-year-old Hudson Taylor wandered into his father's library, where he happened to find a gospel tract, and there he read it. He couldn't shake off the message that day from that gospel tract. So finally he fell to his knees and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and his Lord. Now later, his mother, who had been away during that time, returned home. And when Hudson told her the good news, this is what she said, "I already knew it. You see, 10 days ago, the very date on which you tell me you read that tract, I spent the entire afternoon in prayer for you until the Lord gave me an assurance that my wayward son had come into the fold of Jesus Christ." Prayer and the providence of God. Listen to me, church. You may be praying for someone's soul right now. You may be wondering, are these prayers reaching above the ceiling? Lord, are you hearing my prayer? And in God's providential timing and in his way, he will answer that prayer. It's never a waste of time to pray for the lost soul of sinners. God can answer yes. God can answer no. But it's never a waste of time. Listen to me, church family. In God's providential timing, God used the prayers of Hudson's mother to bring about her son's salvation. The providence of God and prayer work like a hand and a glove. The glove of God's providence covers the hands folded in prayer. And just remember, church, the prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask for the wrong reasons. Satisfy our own selfish passions. Pray knowing that God works through our prayers to accomplish his purposes, church family. Well, that's what the Bible teaches us about prayer and the providence of God. That's not all the Bible teaches us about it, but it sure does give us a good look at it. And, you know, my hope for our church family, for your life personally, is that if you have given up on praying, that you'll come back to it and you'll pray with all fervency. And if you're just wondering where God is, just know that God will lead you all the way. God is with you. Will you surrender to Him today? Is there anyone here this morning that needs to surrender their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? In just a moment, as we sing our invitation time, that's the time for you to come forward and just say, I have surrendered all to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I trust Him by faith that He will save me from my sins, and He will. Perhaps you're out there and you're wandering around in a lost and barren land, and you feel like you're all alone. And maybe this morning you just need to come to the altar, and you just need a new beginning. You've heard about the God of Scripture, that He cares for you and He loves you. And He is working in your life. And you just want to say, Lord, I know You're with me. Now, I'm available for You. Use me as all You can. Maybe today you have a burden for a coworker or a parent, a sibling. Maybe today you have a burden for your nation. If you do, use this altar. If that's where you feel like God's leading you, use the altar. Lay those burdens out for Him. Pray right where you're at. But by all means, don't stop praying when you leave this place. Pray, pray, pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning, and we are thankful that You are a God who is perfectly perfect, who has no defaults, who has perfect wisdom and power and knowledge and perfect demand of all resources. And yet, You tell us that the prayers of a righteous person has great power and is working, and that You are at work through our prayers. What a gift, Lord. Please don't let that gift remain unopened. Father God, use this church, I pray, in the moments ahead. In whatever way You need to, Lord, deal with us. This is Your time, and we are Your people. Work providentially, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.